RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Analyst says BI to maintain benchmark rate at 4.75%. Social Affairs Ministry handles 55 Indonesian deportees linked to Islamic State. 3-hour license service for energy sector launch. Now the news in detail. Chief Economist of State-owned lender PT Bank Mandiri Persero, TBK, Anton Hermanto Gunawan, expects Bank Indonesia to maintain benchmark rate at 4.75% this year. Throughout 2016, the central bank slashed interest rates up to 150 basis points. Anton said in his research titled Outlook and Strategy 2017, Another Year of Fiscal Consolidation, on Sunday, January 29, in Jakarta, that core inflation rate is expected to be under 4%, as private consumption is predicted to stagnate. Moreover, Anton foresees rupiah exchange rate to remain flat in 2017 or similar to that of 2016. During the last year, the average exchange rate of rupiah was 13,400 rupiah per dollar. U.S. government policies have caused global uncertainty, and the Fed's policy normalization may result in financial sector volatility this year. He said current account deficit is expected to be maintained at 2.2% of the gross domestic product, GDP. According to Anton, commodity prices remain the major risk to Indonesia's economy. Unexpected decrease in coal and CPO prices may pose the biggest risk to the Indonesia's GDP. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM has launched a 3-hour service for obtaining 9 licenses connected to energy and mineral resources. The government is encouraging large investment in the energy and mineral resources sectors this year, said BKPM head Thomas Lembong. He said during the launch on Monday, January 30, that exports are still sluggish. Indonesia's consumption is strong, but Indonesia cannot encourage more or Indonesia would become an over-consumptive country. Investment in the energy and mineral resources sectors is the one thing Indonesia can boost. The new service would be applied to 9 licenses related to infrastructure. When done through the BKPM's regular service, the process can take between 20 and 40 days. Company directors seeking to 3-hour service mainly need to submit the required documents at a one-stop integrated service PTSP agency. The licenses will be issued if the firm has met all administrative and technical requirements stipulated in Energy and Mineral Resources Ministerial Decree No. 15/2016 on the 3-hour licensing service for infrastructure in the energy and mineral resources sectors. Indonesian Social Affairs Ministry is providing shelter to 55 Indonesians deported by several foreign authorities, including Turkey, following arrests conducted because of alleged links to the Islamic State IS movement. Indonesian Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa said Sunday, January 29, that the ministry has received several individuals brought in by Densus 88 or the National Police's Counter-Terrorism Unit. Currently, the ministry is handling the third delivery. The deportees were now in a shelter arranged jointly by Indonesian Social Affairs Ministry, Indonesian Foreign Ministry, and Indonesian National Police. Among the individuals was Triyono Utomo, a former mid-ranking finance ministry official who was deported from Turkey for attempting to enter Syria to join the radical IS movement with his family. Minister Kofifa said the deportees would receive counseling and trauma healing during their stay at the shelter before being sent home. Multinational ride-hailing platform Grab Indonesia today announces the appointment of Police Chief Retired General Badruddin Haiti as its President Director. Grab Indonesia Managing Director Rizky Kramadibrata said that Badruddin will work in Jakarta office. Badruddin will office oversee and manage the company's management and long-term operations through the supervision of the performance of the Board of Directors. Rizky Kramadibrata said in a written statement received on Monday, January 30, that in line with the evolution of technology and ride-hailing platforms in Indonesia, Badruddin will guide and ensure Grab Indonesia to provide constructive contributions to the implementation of transport policies and fresh safety rule. Rizky added that Badruddin's appointment as the President Commissioner was due to his brilliant career at the National Police. He served for 35 years and, as police chief, he managed to give significant contributions to counterterrorism, security, intelligence, and traffic management. Rizky noted that Badruddin has a vast experience in working with stakeholders in government agencies and harmonizing different interests. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Some Muslim residents are taking part in organizing the first mass service for newly ordained Catholic priest Gregorius Primus Amaya CS at St. Joseph Pekerja Penfi Parish. The organizing chairman, Yufan Berib, said, escorted by Antara on Monday, January 30, this program involves all community members in the area of Air Baru in Penfi sub-district. Yufan said some Muslims would be playing key roles in the program, including filling roles such as the organizer's advisory, deputy chairman, and section members. He said that he wanted to show the public that religion is not a barrier for the society. He added that there have been similar programs involving Muslims in the past 5 years. The organizer's deputy chairman, Ramli Muda, who is Muslim, said he had taken part in all 5 previous programs. He once chaired the organizing committee, and the program was quite festive. This is evidence of our togetherness and spirit of tolerance among all community members, he said. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II Persero booked net operating income in 2016. It sees an increase from 2015 in audited net operating income of 2,066 trillion rupiah. Of 2,066 trillion rupiah, to 2,359 trillion in 2016. In 2015, the company's retained earnings were 1,687 trillion rupiah. The increase in the company's net operating income last year was due to 18% hike in revenue compared to 2015. The major contributors of the revenue were aeronautical businesses, namely airline passenger services, plane landing, and the use of air bridges that amounted to 4.03 trillion rupiah. Meanwhile, non-aeronautic businesses, for example concessions, rents, billboard, and cargoes, generated 2.62 trillion rupiah. Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin said on Sunday in Jakarta that the company saw a significant increase in revenue after the openings of new terminals in 2016, which include Terminal 3 of Soekarno-Hatta Jakarta International Airport in Tangerang, Banten, Hussein Sastra Negara International Airport Terminal in Bandung, West Java, and Sultan Taha Airport Terminal in Jambi, Jambi Province. He also added that efficiency for better effectiveness, particularly in the first semester of 2016, also helped AP2 to generate the revenue. The last item, Indonesia's representation in Miss Universe 2016, Kezia Waro, manages to reach Miss Universe top 13, but fails to break into the top 9. Kezia Waro was among Miss Universe contestants who reached top 13 with others from Kenya, the United States, Peru, Panama, Colombia, the Philippines, Canada, Brazil, France, Haiti, and Mexico. Miss Thailand was voted by viewers. The Miss Universe 2017 Grand Coronation is held at the Mall of Asia, Manila, the Philippines, on Monday, January 30 at 8 a.m. local time. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Analyst says Bank Indonesia to maintain benchmark rate at 4.75%. Social Affairs Ministry handles 55 Indonesian deposits linked to Islamic State. 3-hour license service for energy sector launch. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Commentary today entitled Mishrin Electability of Jakarta Governor and Vice Governor Candidates. Simultaneous regional head election 2017 is about to be held soon, in less than 3 weeks ahead. Previously, precisely on February 15, 2007, voters in several regions in Indonesia, including Jakarta, will cast their voting rights to choose regional heads and deputy regional heads who are expected to be able to improve their respective regions and people. Some voters have already had their own candidate to vote, but many are still unsure whether their choice is right or not. To the end, Regional General Election Commission, KPUD, has the organizer of regional elections, has stated that campaign period and public debate has begun from October 26, 2016 until February 11, 2007. From the campaign and public debate, it is expected that the voters can get to know the candidates well. For Jakarta, Jakarta Regional Election Commission has held public debate twice, broadcast live on national televisions. Three pairs of governor and deputy governor candidates, namely Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, Silviana Murni, Basuki Cahayapurnama Jarod Saiful Hidayat, and Anies Baswedan, Sandiaga Uno, have struggled in promoting their programs and defended their respective arguments. Several independent survey institutes have released the result of a survey on electability of governor and deputy governor candidates in Jakarta regional election 2017. One of them is Saiful Mujadi Research and Consulting, SMRC, which conducted survey January 14 until January 2, 2017 with the team Debate and Electability of Jakarta Governor and Deputy Governor Candidates. The result shows that electability of Basuki Cahayapurnama or Ahok Jarot Saiful ranks first, followed by Anies Baswedan, Sandiaga Uno, and Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono. Meanwhile, the result of research conducted by Polmart Indonesia chaired by F. Saipula Fata shows that Anies Sandi pair ranks first, followed by Agus Silvi and Ahok Jarot pairs. On the contrary, a survey conducted by Indonesia LSI led by Denny Jesus that Agus Yudhoyono Silviana Murni pair ranks first, followed by Basuki Cahayapurnama Jarot, Saiful Hidayat, and Anies Baswedan Sandiaga Uno pairs. Of course, we cannot use the super result to measure electability of regional head candidates. Not necessarily the survey results before the election will be the same as that of the actual election. But at least governor and vice governor candidates have set up programs that can improve the lives of the people. They are able to convince the villagers and promise they can implement these programs. What is important now for the people is the real proof, not promises. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in History.
a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on January 30th. Lieutenant Colonel I. Gusti Ngurah Rai, who was born 30 January 1917, is an Indonesian national hero who commanded Indonesian forces in Bali against the Dutch during the Indonesian War of Independence. He was killed in the Battle of Margarana. Ngurah Rai was buried in Marga. On August 9, 1975, he was decided as a national hero via presidential decisions number 063-1975. Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali is named for him, and he appears on Indonesia's currency banknote 50,000 rupiah. The next event was in 1933 when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. Adolf Hitler was an Austrian-born Germany politician who was the leader of the Nazi Party, Chancellor of Germany from 1933 to 1945, and Führer, or leader of Nazi Germany, from 1934 to 1945. He was effectively dictator of Nazi Germany and was at the center of World War II in Europe and the Holocaust. Hitler was a decorated veteran of World War I. He joined the precursor of the leader of the Nazi Party, the German Workers' Party, in 1919 and became leader of the Nazi Party in 1921. In 1923, he attempted a coup in Munich to seize power. The failed coup resulted in Hitler's imprisonment during the time he dictated his autobiography and political manifesto, Mein Kampf, or My Struggle. After his release in 1924, Hitler gained popular support by attacking the Treaty of Versailles and promoting pan-Germanism, anti-Semitism, and anti-communism with charismatic oratory and Nazi propaganda. Hitler frequently denounced international capitalism and communism as being part of Jewish conspiracy. Hitler's Nazi Party became the largest elected party in the German Reichstag and leading to his appointment as Chancellor in 1933. The last event was in 1948 when Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, better known as Mahatma Gandhi, was assassinated at the Birla House in New Delhi on January 30, 1948. Gandhi was outside on the steps where a prayer meeting was going to take place, surrounded by a part of his family and some followers, when Nathuram Godse, a militant Hindu nationalist and prominent member of Hindu Mahasabha, approached and shot him 3 times in the chest at close range. Gandhi was taken back inside the Birla House where he died. Listener, that was Today in History of Air and Rail Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program Focused. The theme of today's focus is President Joko Widodo distribute thousands of Indonesian smart cards. Access to education services in Indonesia is continually being improved by the government. During a visit to Yogyakarta and Central Japan last Friday, President Joko Widodo distributed thousands of Indonesian smart cards, KIP, for students at some orphanages. He advised the students to study hard and enthusiastically. There were 2 sites visited by President Joko Widodo and his entourage. The first location was Pengasih Vocational School 2 in Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta. Head of the state distributed 37,000 Indonesian smart cards to students of the elementary, junior high, senior high, and vocational school and school for disabled students. Another location visited by President Joko Widodo was Syuhbanul Wenton Vocational High School in Magelang, Central Java. At this place, 83,000 Indonesian smart cards were distributed. The assistance obtained by the student through the card amounts to 450,000 rupiah per year for primary school level, 750,000 rupiah for junior high school level, and 1 million rupiah for high school or vocational school students. In every location visited by President Joko Widodo, he reminded the students to be wise in spending the education aid. He also sent his message to the student to be passionate in obtaining knowledge, because in today's competition era, it's an capable and excellent human resources. Earlier, when opening the National Conference of Education and Culture 2017 at the Jakarta International on last Thursday, President Joko Widodo also handed over Indonesia's Smart Card to 2,844 orphanage students in Jakarta, Bogor, Tangerang, and Bekasi. The Indonesia Smart Card would be used for their school or education needs, not for other purposes. President Joko Widodo said that in 2017, the government will distribute 90 million Indonesian Smart Cards. This number is an increase of 3.4 million compared to 2016, 16.4 million. Meanwhile, Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said in a statement that the distribution of Indonesian Smart Cards to 2,844 orphans in Jakarta area is meant as an educational culture force to establish an equitable and quality education, which is one of the focal points of the government. Indonesian Card is part of the government's programs to expand the range of educational services, especially for children from poor families aged 6 to 21 years, to get educational services until completing high school or 12 years compulsory education, preventing learners from the possibility of dropping out of school economic difficulty. In addition, the purpose of the distribution of Indonesian Smart Cards is also to attract children who are not in and to regain education services in school, community learning center courses, or other education units. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the news in brief. Chief Economist of State-owned lender PT Bank Mandiri Persero TBK Anton Hermanto Gunawan expects Bank Indonesia BI to maintain benchmark rate at 4.75% this year. Throughout 2016, the Central Bank slashed interest rates up to 150 basis points. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM has launched a three-hour service for obtaining 9 licenses connected to energy and mineral resources. The government is encouraging large investments in the energy and mineral resources sectors this year. BKPM head Thomas Lembong said during the launch on Monday, January 30, that exports are still sluggish. Indonesian Social Affairs Ministry is providing shelter to 55 Indonesians deported by several foreign authorities, including Turkey, following arrest conducted because of alleged links to the Islamic State IS movement. Multinational ride-hailing platform Grab Indonesia today announces the appointment of Police Chief Retired General Badruddin Haiti as its President Director. Grab Indonesia Managing Director Rizky Kramadibrata said that Badruddin Haiti will work in Jakarta office. Badruddin will oversee and manage the company's management and long-term operations through the supervision of the performance of the Board of Directors. Some Muslim residents are taking part in organizing the first mass service for newly ordained Catholic priest Gregorius Primus Amamayasias at St. Joseph Pakerti Penfui Parish. The organizing chairman, Juven Beribe, said, escorted by Antara on Monday, January 30, this program involved all community members in the area of Air Baru in Penfui sub-district. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura II Persero booked net operating income in 2016. The major contributors of the revenue were aeronautical businesses, namely airline passenger service, plane landing, and the use of air bridges that amounted to 4.03 trillion rupiah. Indonesia's representation in Miss Universe 2016, Kezia Waro, manages to reach Miss Universe top 13 but fails to break into the top 9. Kezia Waro was among Miss Universe contestants who reached top 13 with others from Kenya, the US, Peru, Panama, Colombia, the Philippines, Canada, Brazil, France, Haiti, and Mexico. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's season, we invite you to visit Central Java to taste snack, namely cenil. Stay tuned. Listeners, cenil is one of traditional foods in Central Java province. Usually, this food is found at traditional markets, so that many people call it jajanan pasar. Cenil has sweet flavor and chewy and a little bit sticky. It has various shapes and colors depending on the maker. Usually, one portion of cenil consists of more colors, so it will look interesting. Listeners, in the past, cenil was alternative food because at the time rice was rare and difficult to be found. So people tried to make sago to be food. Then they succeeded to process sago as food, namely cenil. According to local people, the name of cenil is from a word centil, which means genit or means fratertius, because cenil is colorful so that it's tempting for a meal. Listeners, to cook cenil is a little bit difficult because it needs many materials and skills. The materials which are needed are, among others, sago flour, grated coconut and sugar, and usually given with a little bit food coloring. To make cenil, firstly, 500 grams of sago flour is melted with 100 ml pandanus water, then pour into boiling water. After that, stir the dough until thick and can be formed. Usually, the dough is divided to be three parts and given food coloring such as red and green, while white color is from the original dough. Listeners, the next step, while the dough of cenil is formed, prepare 2 liters of boiled water. Boil the dough which has been formed and leave when it floats, then drain. The last step before cenil is served is that the cenil is sprinkled with grated coconut and white sugar. You can find cenil at the traditional market with cheap price. Cenil vendor usually sells cenil on tray, which is made from bamboo, and wrap it in the banana leaf, so its aroma attracts us to buy and eat it. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring cenil, traditional food from Central Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mengirim paket melalui pos, or in English, sending a package through the post office. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic for today. I'll repeat each word slowly and you can repeat after me. Di kantor pos. Di kantor pos. In English, at the post office. Dokumen. Dokumen. In English, document. Kakak laki-laki. Kakak laki-laki. In English, brother. Bandung. Bandung. In English, Bandung. Paket. Paket. In English, package. Kemana? Kemana? In English, where? Kakak perempuan. Kakak perempuan. In English, sister. Bogor. Bogor. In English, Bogor. Alat-alat menjahit. Alat-alat menjahit. In English, sewing tools. Agak berat. Agak berat. In English, fairly heavy. Next is a conversation on mengirim paket melalui pos, or in English, sending a package through the post office. As usual, I'll repeat every sentence slowly and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rita and Anan at the office. Rita, hai Ana, apakah kamu mau mengirim surat dari kantor pos ini? Hai Ana, apakah kamu mau mengirim surat dari kantor pos ini? In English, hai Ana, do you want to send a letter from the post office? Ana, ya, saya mau mengirim dokumen untuk kakak laki-laki saya di Bandung. Ya, saya mau mengirim dokumen untuk kakak laki-laki saya di Bandung. In English, yes I do. I want to send documents to my brother in Bandung. Apakah kamu juga mau mengirimkan sesuatu? Apakah kamu juga mau mengirimkan sesuatu? In English, do you also want to send something? Rita, ya, saya mau mengirimkan paket untuk kakak perempuan saya. Ya, saya mau mengirimkan paket untuk kakak perempuan saya. In English, yes, I want to send a package to my sister. Ana, kamu mau mengirimkan paket itu kemana? Kamu mau mengirimkan paket itu kemana? In English, where will you send the package? Rita, saya mau mengirimkan paket itu untuk kakak perempuan saya di Bogor. Saya mau mengirimkan paket itu untuk kakak perempuan saya di Bogor. In English, I will send the package to my sister in Bogor. Ana, apa isi paket itu? Apa isi paket itu? In English, what is the content of the package? Rita, paket ini berisi alat-alat menjahit. Paket ini berisi alat-alat menjahit. In English, the package contains sewing tools. Dan sedikit agak berat. Dan sedikit agak berat. In English, and it's quite heavy. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back. With me, Hernita, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Listener, in today's edition, we'll present you to some keroncong songs sung by a talented Indonesian singer, Hetikus Endang. The ability of Minang and Sundanese split women, who dedicating various genres of songs, has been known exactly. Hetikus Endang, who was born in Jakarta on August 6, 1957, began her career in music since the age of 14 years. As the son of the former commander of the Air Force Base, Hetty was often asked to sing in the air base and at school. Her talent may flow from her father, who was once a keroncong singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Tenda Biru by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening.
Ada tenda biru
The song Tanda Biru was previously popularized by Desi Ratnasari in pop genre, which was released in 1996. The song is well known up to this time and has been sung in various genres, including Kroncong. Betrayal of Love, that's the story of the song. The talented singer has won numerous awards throughout her career in the world of Indonesian music. Among the champions, namely the second winner of the national level of singing contest 1976 and the first winner of the national singing festival in 1977. Not only popular in Indonesia, the name of Hetikus Endang is also well known in the neighboring country such as Malaysia, Brunei, and Singapore. Even Hetty has also been named as the best singer thanks to her nice vocal in the song Sayang at the Viña del Mar Song Festival in Chile. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Hetikus Endang.
The song Kaulah Segalanya or You Are My Everything was previously popularized by Indonesian talented pop singer Ruth Sahanaya. The song tells about betrayal of love and was released again by Yeyet, the nickname of Hetikus Endang in the rhythm of Kroncong Pop. Yeyet or Hetikus Endang reached her peak popularity in the 80s, where she could release up to 4 albums in a year. During her career in the world of Indonesian music, more than 23 albums have been produced in various genres, namely pop, kroncong, and dangdut music. Hetty said she dedicated the song in kroncong version to invite the young people to not see that kroncong as an old song. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hanya Semalam and Mahameru by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Hanya semalam.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.